the Supreme Court is considering arguments today in two cases that could change the future of the internet, and it comes at a time when many experts say our laws have not kept up with the pace of technological change.
The cases ask whether tech platforms like Facebook and YouTube can remove hate speech or misinformation. And today, justices wrestled with the question of what counts as speech. Here's Justice Clarence Thomas speaking with lawyer Paul Clement.
So who's speaking then? The algorithm or the person?
I think the question in these cases would be that Facebook is speaking, that YouTube is speaking, because they're the ones that are using these devices to run their editorial discretion across these massive volumes.
Mark Joseph Stern has been following the arguments of the court, senior writer for Slate. Hi, Mark.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on.
So I suppose that is more a question for philosophers than reporters, who is speaking, algorithm or person. But can you explain why this matters? These cases are about laws in Florida and Texas on how social media companies handle their content. What laws are they, what do these laws do? And how did this end up in the highest court?
So Florida and Texas both passed pretty similar laws that severely regulates large social media companies like YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, X, and require them to host pretty much any content that users decide to post. That includes, say, pornography, hate speech, even terrorist propaganda, because under these state laws, the companies are not allowed to engage in content moderation. They aren't allowed to either create algorithms or hire individual people to go through what's posted on these websites and to remove or sort of deprioritize particular speech. The inevitable result of that, the companies argue, and I think this is clearly correct, is that people will really not want to use these websites because every time they log on, they're going to be inundated with a blitz of really gross, nasty stuff, not just hateful stuff, but explicit stuff, stuff not acceptable for children. And the companies say we might just have to close because we can't handle being the place on the internet where everybody gets to say whatever they want.
And the justices asked a lot of questions about how this might spread to other companies, not just social media companies. Here's Justice Amy Coney Barrett pointing out that a lot of private companies have to make decisions that are editorial in nature.
And don't all methods of organization reflect some kind of judgment? I mean, could Florida enact a law telling bookstores that they have to put everything out by alphabetical order and that they can't organize or put some things closer to the front of the store that they think, you know, their customers will want to buy?
And that's, again, Justice Barrett. We heard a very different line of questioning from Justice Samuel Alito. He asked Paul Clement, the lawyer who is arguing against these laws, about how Florida's law might apply to, say, Gmail.
Does Gmail have a First Amendment right to delete, let's say, Tucker Carlson's or Rachel Maddow's Gmail accounts if they don't agree with her or his or her viewpoints?
They might be able to do that, Your Honor. I mean, that's obviously not something that has been the square focus of this litigation.
So understanding that it's dangerous to try and read tea leaves according to arguments, but what did you hear from the justices?
So the justices seemed very divided along unusual lines in this case. I think it's fair to say that Justices Thomas and Alito are against the corporations here, which frankly I find a bit baffling because those justices have been loud proponents of this idea of corporate free speech rights in other contexts. Most famously, Citizens United. They both say that corporations have the exact same First Amendment rights as individuals, but here they were both suggesting that when corporations engage in content moderation, that it's somehow different, that they disavow themselves of free speech rights and can no longer decide what speech they want to host or engage in. On the other side, you had justices like Amy Coney Barrett, like Elena Kagan, and even Ketanji Brown Jackson, who seemed really troubled by these laws, who understood that they are so broad that they could effectively destroy social media as we know it, but who also think that perhaps there are some legitimate applications here, that there may be some some websites, some instances where it is fine for a state to come in and say you're not allowed to discriminate based on what your user is saying. So I think the outcome in this case will really depend on whether the justices can land on a set of agreed upon facts about how these laws actually work and enunciate a clear constitutional principle to say which applications fall on the constitutional side of that line.
You mentioned Elena Kagan. Let's hear a little bit of the justice weighing in on this debate over whether social media companies are just posting content or they're more like a newspaper with editorial judgment.
And they have rules about content. They say, you know, you can't have hate speech on the site. They say you can't have misinformation with respect to particular subject matter areas.
So do you think that's what these cases are really about? Deciding once and for all whether social media companies are editorial in nature or simply a place for other people to post?
So that is how the social media companies themselves have teed this up. They want this to be a kind of epic battle over the First Amendment that renders a definitive answer, hopefully on their side, that says the state just has to stay out of how they do their business. What we're seeing today is some pushback, even from more progressive justices like Kagan, saying you're going too far. I'm inclined to agree with some of your basic principles, but you're not exactly like a bookseller or someone compiling an anthology. And we need to preserve some room for states to experiment because you may be engaging in speech, but you're also a multi-billion dollar corporation that has a lot of impact on democracy and how people communicate. And we don't want to tie the hands of states that are legitimately concerned about that. At the same time, I think there was a general agreement that Texas and Florida are not legitimately concerned about that. What they really want to do is sort of push back against what they see as anti-conservative bias. There's a lot of obvious sort of hatred against those companies in the legislative debates over these bills. They say Facebook is censoring conservatives. Right. And so, again, the question is, how do they land in the middle and preserve leeway on both sides?
Mark Joseph Stern, senior writer for Slate, thanks so much.
Thank you.